بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our studies of السيرة النبوية, the prophetic biography and the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have taken a brief break from studying the timeline of his life sallallahu alayhi wasallam to discuss some important affairs about his ash-shama'il and about his al-hadi. Shama'il, wal-hadi, Shama'il, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa hadiyuhu. What does Shama'il mean? His physical appearance outwardly. His physical appearance outwardly sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also about his manners as well, from his Shama'il and his hadi. What is al-hadi? Guidance, but his guidance and his manners and the way that he carried himself and the way that he dealt with the people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called al-hadi, a person's demeanor and his manners and etiquettes and the way that he lives and the way that one carries themselves and acts and the way that one behaves. Some people, they have upright and good and noble hadi, guidance and manners and demeanor, and other people are lesser than that. They have foul and they have bad manners, and their way is a bad way, and their way is no good. And the way that is good is determined by knowing the hadi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And those who know his good way, then they will be able to determine who is truly upon the right path and who is not. In the previous class, we have discussed some issues about Hadyu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil libas, about his manners and his etiquettes with regards to clothing. What was the most beloved clothing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he wore the most, or he liked to wear the most? Al-Qamis, naam. Al-Qamis, naam. What is Al-Qamis? That's what we call a thawb today. Thanti, naam. But in Arabic, a thawb, it means a garment. So any garment can be considered a thawb in the Arabic language. But today, of course, we know the qamis, and we call it, it's known to us as a thawb. Naam, this is correct. But what it's called properly, al-qamis. Al-qamis. Naam, it is the thawb, or the garment that has a place for the head to go through and two sleeves. And it's long. Where did the qamis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to? The middle of his shin. And he prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also with regards to the garments from going below the ankles. And this is something that we should be aware of, and the men should be aware of, and the boys should be aware of. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that that which is below the ankles from the garment of a man is in the hellfire. مَا تَحْتَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَفِي النَّارِ فَفِي النَّارِ. So therefore, this is something also specific to his guidance. Rather, this is an obligation that the garment, it must not go below the ankles. The highest that the garment can go is to the middle of the shin, and the lowest that it can go is to the bottom of the ankle. It cannot go below the ankle. It cannot go below the ankle. It can't go below the ankle. It can go to the ankle. What is haram and impermissible is for the garment to pass the ankle. To go past the ankle. It can be on the ankle, but it cannot go past it. And also, with regards to how high it should not be higher than the middle of the shin. Some people will have it up to their knees. It's not proper. This is not correct. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he set the limit for the garment, and that it will be between the middle of the shin and the ankle. Naam. So this is the case with regards to his garment. And he loved to wear the qamis. Why? What was the benefit from that? Because it covers his body more properly. Naam, and his aura and his body, is covered properly and well, and one does not have to worry about their privates becoming uncovered whenever they wear this type of a garment, and not becoming uncovered because of the actual aura being shown, or because it's so tight likewise that it grips and shows the body part and the legs, for example. Somebody who wears pants, like many of the people today have been tried, they wear pants so tight that you can see exactly the shape of their leg. You can see exactly that this person, he's like, he is not wearing clothing and he's exposing his aura, and he is belittling himself and angering his Lord. If they only knew. Likewise, the one who wears a shirt and it's so tight that you can see his chest and you can see his back. Hayatun billah. This is a very bad situation. As we mentioned yesterday, this is a sign of what? The one who wears his clothing like this, exposing his aura and his body. What is this a sign of? A sign that Allah is angry with that person. And the evidence for that is whenever Allah punished Adam, and was angry with them for disobeying him, he exposed their privates and he exposed their body. And so this is a sign that a person, he is on a bad path, that he would begin to expose his own self and go out in public. Rather, even worse than that is that he will like that. Those people who do that, they like that. They think that's good. And the shaitan has tricked them, and he has made falsehood sound and seem nice to them. May Allah guide them. As for the one who wears the thobe, he does not have to worry about that because the thobe is already loose and it covers his body. So this is a good thing about that. The other good thing? It's easy to put on, it's easy to take off, and also whenever somebody's wearing it, it is comfortable. What were the colors that he liked to wear the most, or he encouraged to wear the most, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? White. We've seen that he wore a garment that would be red, or would have red in it mixed with black or mixed with another color. And sometimes there's narrations that he would have a green garment on. But and he wore different colors besides white, but he encouraged white the most. And he mentioned that that's the best of them. The best of the garments is the white garment. What else did we learn about his clothing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Anything else? This is where we stopped in our previous class. Alhamdulillah. Today we learned something about the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about his an-na'al. An-na'al, it means sandals. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have an-na'al, and those are sandals. It's been narrated from Qatadah radiyallahu anhu that he said, Sa'altu Anas ibn Malikin radiyallahu anhu. Qatadah, he is from the scholars of the Tabi'een. He died in the year 117. He's from the students of Anas ibn Malik. He's coming to Anas. He knows that Anas spent much time with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Qatada rahimahullah, he comes to ask Anas about something. What did he say? He said, Kayfa kana na'lu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How were the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What were the sandals of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like? What were his sandals like? قال رضي الله عنه لهما قبالان لهما قبالان. They had two qibal, they had two strings, meaning that he had sandals that had a place that would come in the middle and two strings on each side of it connecting to that middle piece that would hold the feet together. And one narration that's mentioned that that piece there, that's made from the hide. Those strings are made from the hide. You have it on his sandal, in the front there's a piece that comes up. And then there is a string that's tied to it on each side and goes onto the side like this, holding his feet. Huh? And those strings and the likes and the sandals is made from hide. But the hide of an animal, who knows what hide is? What is a hide? Animal hide. Get back over here, don't hide. اجلسي هنا بنتي. تعالي هنا. Hide means it has different meanings in English, huh? Hide, why are you hiding? The hide of an animal is the skin of the animal. So we benefit from the animals, from their flesh. We eat the meat of the animals, and there's other benefits in the animals, likewise from their hide, their skin. So they would take the hide and they would make things from it. From them they would make shoes and sandals, and they would make these qibal that would be the strips on the sandals. Sometimes the hide would have lots of hair on it. Sometimes the hide would be trimmed with a little bit of hair on it. Sometimes the hide would remove their hair entirely and it would be smooth. The smooth one, this one is called jarda. Naam, and his na'al was like that. It was smooth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jarda la sha'ara fihima. There was no hair on his sandals. They were smooth. They were smooth. So this is one thing about the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After this, we see from his guidance with regards to the shoes, and from his manners with regards to shoes. It's been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا يَمْشِيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي نَعْلٍ وَاحِدًا. That one of you should never walk with one shoe on, with one sandal on. لَا يَمْشِيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي نَعْلٍ وَاحِدًا. That one of you should never walk with only one shoe on, with one na'al, with one sandal on. لِيُنْعِلْهُمَا جَمِيعًا أَوْ لِيُحْفِهُمَا جَمِيعًا. Either you put both of them on altogether, or you take both of them off. Either you put both of them on, or you take both of them off. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has prohibited from wearing one shoe, walking around with one shoe on and leaving the other shoe off. And the scholars, they mentioned that this is from the great love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the love of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for justice. For al-adil, for justice, and for things to be just, and for the people to be just, even into the extent that Allah has commanded that a person must be just with his own body. And we see that if one person, he wears one shoe, then that foot that has the shoe on has protection, because the shoe, it gives protection to the foot, and the shoe, it keeps the foot safe from harm and from being hurt. So if a person is walking with one shoe on, one shoe is protected, and one shoe is in, or one foot is protected, and one foot is in comfort, the other one is exposed and could be harmed and is exposed to danger. So therefore, this is not permissible. And this is from the wisdom behind this. And likewise, similar to this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has also forbidden al-qaza', and this is to cut some of the hair and leave some of the hair. And this is for the same reason, because this is giving the head some of the hair and allowing some of the hair to be there and then taking some of it off. And this is not being just and being proper. Not to mention it's an imitation of the disbelievers. And also we see that from this same issue, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has prohibited from sitting in between the sun and the shade. Sitting in the sun and the shade. And some people are either going to have to sit in the shade or sit in the sun, but you can't sit between the two of them. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that this is the place where shaitan, he sits. So these are the things. Shaitan, he likes to be different. Shaitan, he likes to be unjust. And shaitan, he calls the people to this way. Don't sit in the shade. Don't sit in between the two of them. Don't let your hair grow. Don't cut it all at one time. Rather cut part of it and leave some of it hanging. Like this, don't wear one shoe or two shoes. Brother, don't wear two shoes or don't wear no. Whether wear one shoe like this. He always goes against the fitrah and the natural disposition that Allah has created the human being upon. In any case, we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade from walking in one shoe. Either you have to put both shoes on or you have to take both shoes off. You put both shoes on or you take both shoes off. There's a very beautiful benefit that has been mentioned by Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars of our era, Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahmatullahi alayhi. He was asked about somebody who came out and he seen one of his shoes over here and the other shoe was on the other side of the place, and he over on the other side. For example, maybe somebody came out of the masjid and he sees one sandal here and then another sandal got moved over there across the way. So he said, is it okay to put one sandal on and then to walk over there to get the other sandal? You understand? You know, as Shaykh Ibn Baz said, he said a very wise and beneficial statement. He said, oh my son, if you are able to not take one step in the opposition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you should do it. Don't take one step. And he literally, don't do that. And if you can not take one step even in the disobedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you must do that. And he don't even take one step. Meaning don't do that. Pick up your shoe and go over there and put them on together just as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has commanded. He has commanded. And this is from the wisdom and this is a clear indication of the love of a believer for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they could never bear in their heart to disobey him, and they would dislike that and they would hate that and they would never want to do something that he said do not do it, and also they would never want to leave off anything that he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's obligatory or not obligatory. They would try to do as much as they can because they know that his way is the good way and the way that leads to paradise. Idrisi. Tayyib. One more hadith also from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا انْتَعَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا نَزَعَ فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِالشِّمَالِ فَلْتَكُونَ الْيُمْنَى أَوَّلَهُمَا تُنْعَلُ وَآخِرَهُمَا تُنْزَعُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if one of you puts on his sandals, or his shoes in general, if one of you puts on his sandals, then he should begin with the right. And if he takes them off, then he should begin with the left. And the right one should be the first one to be put on, and the last one to be taken off. The right shoe should be the first, the right foot should be the first one to be put on. And the shoe should be put on it first, and the right foot, the last for it to be taken off. For it to be taken off. These narrations, both of them, are mutafiqun alayhima. Likewise, with this regards, it has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, "Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'jibuhu atayammunu fi tana'ulihi wa tarajjulihi wa tuhurihi." وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ. This hadith, it would be nice for you to memorize. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, it's also muttafaqun alayhi. كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَجِيبُهُ أَتَّيَمُّنُ فِي تَنَعُولِهِ وَتَرَجُّلِهِ وَطُهُورِهِ وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to like to begin with the right. To begin with the right when putting on his shoes and in combing his hair and whatever he makes tuhur and purification and in all of his affairs. And in all of his affairs. In all of his affairs. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he encouraged to begin with the right in many affairs. And the scholars have looked into these evidences and they have found that all of the things that are good and all of the things that are nice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would begin with the right to do these things. Whenever there's benefit, whenever there's goodness, or whenever there are nice things, he would do this with the right. As for the other case, if there are things that's not so nice, for example, using the restroom and the likes like this, he would not use the right hand. Rather, he would use the left hand, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the good things, he will use his right hand. And the not so good things, or that which is lesser than that, he would use his left hand, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, the right, it always has a type of honor that is over the left. And that is because the goodness that is known with the right side. Huh? Ashab al-yameen, ima ashab al-yameen. Huh? And the companions of the right hand, who are the companions of the right hand? And the righteous and the pious and the upright on the day of judgment, they receive their book in which hand? And the right hand, and the foul, and the evil, and the wicked, and the wretched, they receive their books, yathan billah, in the left hand. So in the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the right is honored. And we see like this. So therefore, the right foot, it has more honor to have the shoe on first, and it stays on longer. So it's the last one to be taken off. It's the last one to be taken off. Many of the scholars, they also use this understanding to derive the manner of entering the masjid and entering the places that are good. Which one do we enter? Which foot do we enter with? The right foot. Which is better, outside or inside the masjid? The right foot has more right to go inside first. Huh? And to get out of the worst or the bad place into the better place, or into the virtuous place into the more virtuous place. Huh? Like this. And whenever you go out of the masjid, which one is the last one to go out? The right, showing honor to the right foot, so that it stays longer in the good place like this. When you go to the bathroom, akramakum Allah, which one goes in first? The left, the right foot has the right to stay out longer in the better place before going into the less virtuous place like this. When you come out of the bathroom, which one goes out first? The right foot has more right to come into the most virtuous place like this. The ulama, they have derived these benefits from the likes of these narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to like to begin with his right in all of his affairs. This is understood in this sense. Likewise, putting on clothing. Which foot do we put on? Which one we put on somebody who wears pants? Which one does he put on first? Whenever somebody wears a thobe, which sleeve does he put on first? Whenever he puts on a jacket, which sleeve does he put on first? Whenever he takes it off, which one does he take off? And now he takes off the left first. Huh? Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, that whenever you put your shoes on, you put your right on first. And whenever you take them off, you take off the left first. So similarly like this, your garment, when you put your garment on, you put your right on first. When you take your garment off, you take the left off first in this manner. This is from the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What if somebody was putting their shoes on and they forgot and they put their left shoe on first? And you see them. What do you do to them? What do you do to them? You tell them? Do you yell at them? Do you call them bad names? No. Do you talk bad about them?
You tell them in the right way,
in the good way. You say, I think you forgot. I think maybe you forgot that the sunnah is to put on your right foot first. I'm sure you already know that hadith, but maybe you forgot. You should, or you remind them, it's better to start with your right foot because that's the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm sure you know that. Maybe you just forgot. Like this, you tell him in a good way. You tell him in a good way. This is the case if you see them putting on their left foot and then you stop them at that time. So then what do? They take their left foot out and they start over. What about if somebody, he put his left foot on and then his right foot on and he's wearing his shoes now? It's too late. You can remind him, but you tell him next time. You don't tell him in this situation, take him off and put him back on. If he put on his left first and you caught him like there, and you caught him, and he remembered at that time he'll take his left off. But once he's wearing his shoes, khalas, he already missed the opportunity. We wouldn't tell him to take off your shoes entirely and start over. Nah. But you can remind him, though, like next time you put your shoes on, you should remember the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, if somebody, he put on his left shoes and his left shoe first before his right shoe, is this a sin? Is he disobeying Allah? Is he disobeying the Messenger? Huh? If he did it out of forgetfulness, inshallah, there's no problem. But, and even then, this is something from the etiquettes. Many of the scholars mentioned that it's recommended and it's not an obligation. But if somebody put on his left shoe in opposition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing the Prophet did it like this, and he said, I'm going to do it like this anyways, this person, he's in a bad situation. If somebody did it because they're lazy, if somebody did it because they're forgetful, if somebody did it because they're weak, and the likes like this, and they just put their shoes on however they like, that's one thing, and that's definitely a problem. But if somebody said, I know that this is the way the Prophet, or somebody said about himself, he knows that this is the way the Prophet did it, and he's going to do it anyways how he wants to, this person is in danger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever does not like my way, then he's not from me. So even the things that are not obligatory, to leave them intentionally and to not care about them, this is a bad way. This is a bad way. For somebody to say, okay, I know that it's not obligatory, I'm going to do as much as I can. Sometimes I can do it, but sometimes I can't do it. It's hard for me like this to do all of the recommended actions. Then that's one thing. But for somebody to say they don't want to do it, or they don't have to do it, or they don't like it, this is very, very bad. In any case, in these manners like this, this is the way of actually following the sunnah comes to life. The following of the sunnah, how does it come to life in your life? How? By doing it. When you get up, when you go to bed, when you put your clothing on, when you put your shoes on, whenever you get undressed, whenever you bathe, all of this, whenever you use the bathroom, all of these affairs, you follow the sunnah in that. This is the way of a Muslim. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And this is the whole reason why we're studying As-Sirah in the first place. So we can learn about him, and we can learn about his way, and so we can know him, and we can know his deen, and we can follow him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, a believer, he will always remember. And if somebody reminds him, he'll be thankful. He'll be happy that somebody reminded him, because he will not want to continue to just be different and, differing with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With that, we close today's class, and I remind you that next week there is no school, and this is for an opportunity to review and to prepare for the test that is coming. And I encourage the students to prepare and to review properly. And all of the audios are available on the channel in Telegram for every student to review. And most of them are 20 to 40 minutes long. Between 20 and 40 minutes long. So for example, we have already picked this time to study. Somebody could use this time to listen to two audios every day and almost catch up entirely. Almost catch up entirely. Listen to two audios a day, catching up and taking good notes and reviewing the classes that have preceded. Inshallah, you can make some good review in that manner and prepare for the test so that you can pass the test. And the real test is in the application. And the real test is in the application. And likewise, I remind the students of the field trip that is coming up on Yom Khamis. And in order to really benefit from this field trip, because it is not just a field trip where we're going to have fun. Inshallah, we will have fun. But also, it will be educational. And for you to benefit properly, you should review the class with regards to Al-Masadir, Al-Asliyah, Wal-Far'iyah. Al-Masadir, Al-Asliyah, Wal-Far'iyah. Huh? If you have been studying with us, you know what we are talking about. This will help you to benefit from the field trip, insha'Allah ta'ala, to have that knowledge fresh in your mind. May Allah give you success and guide you to that which is good. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.